Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lee from Lee and Key's Real Talk. Oh, man, I know it's been a while since we've been up here to talk to you guys, but we got an action-packed show tonight. Me and my man Key, we got a lot to catch up on. So sit back, put your seatbelts on, and we're about to have a good one. What's going on, Keys? How you doing, bro?
What's going on, my man? I'm good. Chilling. Let's do it.
I know, right? How's your summer going?
Oh, it's going great, bro. I mean, my birthday was last Monday. It was a birthday week for the kid, 27. It was great, man. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, we pretty much ran a marathon.
Hey, ain't nothing
it's going good.
That, but... Yeah,
big
man,
celebration.
So
it's still going. I'm going. I'm about to go up to Maine Friday to Tuesday. So we're going to keep it going. This is the encore.
Okay. All right. I got some friends up in Bangor, Maine. All right, man. So look, we got to jump into it. We're going to go back to UFC. What was that? 289?
289, yeah.
Yeah, 289, okay. All right, man, so we'll just jump into the co-main event first. We had our boy Charles Oliveira. Once again, very impressive. Finishing Beneil Dariush, who was looked at as the possible next title contender. Hey, man, I know me and you done said this, and we done said it probably a whole lot. Charles Oliveira, man, he definitely on another level, dog.
I mean, look,
I don't know, man. I don't have the words, man. I'm going to let you describe. You tell me what did you think of his performance. And, all right, they said him in Islam. What's your thoughts, bro? What's your thoughts?
So, first of all, let me know if my AC is coming through the audio. I'm not too far off from my AC, so let me know. Two is what I thought. What happened?
I said I heard you real good.
All right, just let me know if it changes. All right, so I don't want to have all the feedback. So I think the question we got to get to, and this is a big question here, you know. This is one of my favorite questions. I love when we have to come back to this point. And actually, yo, guys, I'm going to tell you, when I wrote up the possible topics, I actually almost forgot. We got to talk about our boy Cannonier, too. And we're gonna have to ask a similar question about our boy Cannonier. We're going to get to that. But the question is this. Just how good is Charles Oliveira?
That's a hell of a question, bro.
You know, my boy Chael Sonnen asked that question, you know, now and then about guys. Just how good is Charles Oliveira? I would like to see him make a video with that headline soon, because I think the question needs to be asked. Because really, it comes down to, Beneil Dariush was on, what, 10, 11, 12 fight win streak? He hadn't lost since, what, 2015, 2017? It was a while. And Oliveira smashed him to pieces, bro. I couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't believe it. And really, I'm going to tell you, I thought Oliveira was going to lose that fight. You know, I don't know if we predicted it. I don't think we predicted for that one. But I had Dariush. I thought Dariush would beat him in that fight. I thought it would come down to the grappling. I knew it was possible that we could see a striking match if both guys. But I did think that the deciding factor would be Dariush's grappling. I thought he would win a decision, you know, and I was wrong about that. You know, Oliveira smashed him to pieces like we've never seen before. Charles Oliveira, when's the last time he smashed, I mean, he finished Gaethje in the first round, and he probably could have TKO'd Gaethje, but he chose to knock him down and then submit him, which was kind of like, that was like the 1-2 punch. I feel like he submitted and TKO'd Gaethje in that fight, but I mean, this was a straight... Yeah, I mean, I feel like Oliveira submitted and TKO'd Gaethje in one fight. There was only one finish, but I think he finished him twice if you look at it. And that's pretty bad when you get finished twice. So, yeah, but, you know, basically a standing TKO. And you could just see it. Like, right once they were striking, you could see it. Like, they got back to their feet, and you could see it was a huge difference. Like, the striking, Oliveira, he came in there to kill a man, you know what I'm saying? And you could just, there was a big difference, and there was a skill gap in the striking. You could see, like, right away when they got back to their feet, Dariush was getting touched bad. And I was like, oh, my God, he's taking big shots. This might be over. And it was over. It was actually over. I didn't think that I would be right, but I was like, is this about to be over? This was in the first round. I'm like, is this about to be over? And it was. I was like, oh, my goodness. Oliveira just destroyed him, smashed him to pieces in one round. That's crazy, bro. That's crazy. We got to ask, man, just how good is Charles Oliveira? I think that's a big question right now.
I'm going to say this. I think he was putting the cart in front of the horse in the first Islam fight. I think we will have a more focused Charles Oliveira in that fight. If I was picking that fight today and knew Charles Oliveira beats Islam, I think Islam don't want to take him to the ground.
Yo, you're coming in kind of quiet, bro.
You hear me? Can you hear me now?
Kind of quiet. Yeah, I can hear you. It's just really low.
Okay, hold on. Let me adjust.
It's lower than it usually is.
All right, what about now, bro?
Yeah, that sounds a lot better.
Yeah, that
sounds closer. All
right, cool. All right, man. So, look. Oliveira is a beast. I know before he won the belt, me and you was like, man, he got to definitely work on this strike. Got to work on this strike. Until he can show people that he can punch, he just ain't going to be it. And then he improved his striking. And we all know he can submit. So I didn't think Dariush really had a chance against him unless he caught him and then tried to, like, take him down and submit him. But man, like you said, once they stood up and Charles Oliveira started letting his hands go, it was over, man. It was like Dariush was just like, but Dariush is one of them guys, Keys, that him and Vittori, if they can't take you down, they can't beat you. Because nobody is really scared of their hands. Everybody is don't want to grapple with them, don't want to wrestle with them, don't want to do this. With Neil, if he couldn't win the striking game, he wasn't going to win the mat game against Charles. Because Charles is good on the mat, too. So, but it's one thing I always go back to what my man Key said. There's levels to this. And Charles Oliveira just showed us that he's on a whole different level than Benil Dariush. And he made it look easy. Man. I loved it, bro. I loved the way he came in. I loved the way he was focused. I loved the way he went for the fence. He left no doubt. And basically, he pretty much told Dana White, I'm next. We'll get my belt back on next. And it was an amazing performance.
Yeah, I mean it's so the. Oh wow, I'm not going bad. All right, so the one thing about the AirPods things, I wanted to get better audio. It's kind of low. So the one thing that I want to say is, and this was really the first. This was just about the first thought I had after I saw Oliveira smash into pieces. So I was out when I saw that. It was just they had it playing on the TV. I didn't have anybody over to watch it. I wasn't really. I just wanted to see Oliveira's fight. That card really didn't do anything for me. You know, I didn't care. I mean, Aldana, I'm a fan of, but I didn't need to order the pay-per-view to just, you know, it wasn't one of those ones for me. But the first thought that I had, something about the first thought that I had when I saw that was this. Oliveira, I want him to change one thing in what he's saying right now, and that's the location. We are not going back to Abu Dhabi to fight Islam again. You already went there. You already did that. Why do you have to go back to give him another home game? You already gave him a home game when he was fighting for your belt. Why do you have to go back there as the challenger? Tell him that, let's run it in Rio. Let's bring Islam to Brazil. I think that's the play right there. If you're the UFC business-wise, you bring it to Brazil. If you're Oliveira, mental warfare-wise, you bring it to Brazil. And just in terms of the logic and in competitive fairness, you already gave him his home game when he was fighting for your belt. Why do you have to, in the rematch, give him another home game? I don't agree with that. So I think that's one thing that if I'm Oliveira right now, I'm going to change tones on that. And I think he should say, come fight me in Brazil. That's how we go. I just destroyed the guy that you thought was going to give you a challenge. I just obliterated him in one round. Now we're going to fight. You come to Brazil this time. Run the rematch in Rio. That's what I would do. That's what I would do for all the fucking belts.
See, but the thing is, I think Dana White is setting it up so that Islam is going to fight and over there in Abu Dhabi, man. But I'm with you. Why would you have that fight, the first fight over there, and then the second fight in the same spot? That's just, to me, that's just like, if I was a fan over there, I wouldn't want to see that fight again, especially the way Oliveira lost in the first fight. He got dominated in the first fight over there. I wouldn't want to see that. I'm with you, man. Either have it in Brazil or you got to have it in the States. It got to be somewhere where I think both of them have 50-50 fan base or whatever. Did the way Charles looked in that fight, did it give you any reservation that he could win a rematch against Islam? Or do you think it would be the same outcome?
I don't know for sure. I mean, I'll say this. I do think that if he would bring the fight to Brazil, I think it changes a lot. We saw the way that, and if you want to look at an example of this, we saw the way Islam looked, and it wouldn't just be this. You can assume that this is a reason, but we saw the way Islam looked when he fought Volkanovski on his home turf. Islam didn't look too good, and that's not just because of that. It's Volkanovski's, you know, I think he's going to be an all-time great when it's all. I think he's an all-time great now, but he didn't look too great going away and fighting over there. You know, even though after the fight he was, you know, had a lot to say and seemed like that, you know, they thought they dominated the fight, which they definitely didn't dominate the fight. They looked very human. They looked very, you know, they looked beatable in the fight is what I would say. And so I still lean towards Islam beating Oliveira in the rematch, but I think Oliveira can make adjustments to win the fight. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, if I'm only referencing what we saw in their first fight, yeah, 100% I'm thinking Islam wins again. But if I look at what Oliveira's done in his other fights, you know, if I look at the way he fought versus Tony Ferguson and how dominant he looked there when he was showing more of his game, you know, I think that in this Dariush fight, I think there's a lot more that he could show in a rematch. That's what I would say.
Yeah, like I said, I'm leaning towards Oliveira. I just think that I think that he will come in focused. He won't be talking about, you know, fighting Conor McGregor and doing all this crazy stuff like he was talking leading up to the first fight. And I think a more focused Charles Oliveira is a more dangerous Charles Oliveira. But on with you, I think that the location of the fight will probably definitely play a role, especially if it goes the distance when it comes to judging, because every little thing that Islam do in Abu Dhabi, they're going to go crazy for it. Even if it's nothing, they're gonna ooh and ah, and sometimes ooh and ah sway judges. But we got to talk about this, man. Probably, the greatest female fighter of all time, Amanda Nunes, dominated our girl, Aldana. And after the fight, she retired, man. What are your thoughts on Nunes retiring, bro?
I don't really care. I mean, that's not, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, respect, and that's, you know, she's done pretty incredible things in the sport, and she dominated, you know, the women's divisions, and, you know, that's great. But it's, you know, it's, as far as me personally, I don't, it doesn't really do anything. I mean, I do think that it's cool because you can change the landscape in the women's divisions, and, you know, you can kind of have a more even playing field and let these other girls fight each other, you know, now. It probably makes for some more fun fights, but overall, I'm with Sean O'Malley, man. I don't know if you saw Sean O'Malley's interview, but they actually asked him about this, and Sean O'Malley was proposing the idea of there being a WUFC, where the women get their own, you know, own part of the organization where they just have only women's fights and the men's is separate. And I kind of like that idea, you know. So yeah, for her retiring, she's obviously a great in the sport. So props to her, you know, she achieved incredible things, you know, happy retirement, but she was never really someone that I was checking for like that. I don't really, you know, me, I'm not really much into the women's division. So yeah, it's cool.
You know, I thought it was classy, to me, I like when people go out on top, you know, and fairly still healthy, you know, we don't want them to get beat out, you know, them to get beat up out the game, you know, we'd rather than going to their own, on their own. So I thought it was a good move for her. You know, plus she beat her, she'll beat everybody, you know. Cyborg came out and said, it's too bad we're not going to get Cyborg Nunes too and all this. And I was like, man, stop it. The way she dominated you, made you look, and you was a bigger fighter. Nah, I'm cool. Don't nobody want to see that. And then Clarissa Shields called her out saying, me and her should have a boxing match. And I'm like, nah, why don't you come to the Octagon? You know, you over there at PFL, so why don't you come to the Octagon? So, you know, man, hats off to Amanda for having an outstanding career. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the other ladies do now. Is anybody going to step up, take the bull by the horns, and become a new beast in that division? You know, one of the greats, Lee, man, I'll have to do a salute and wish him well. But the sport continues, man. Speaking of the sport continued this past weekend, Jared Cannonier versus Vettori. Cannonier broke a record. Most significant strikes landed in a middleweight fight in UFC history. What was your thoughts on Cannonier, bro?
Bro, I'll tell you this. I put my money on Cannonier to win that. So he won me some good money there. Thank you, Jared Cannonier. I'm a big fan now. Appreciate it. I mean, it's not like I wasn't a fan. He was a guy I was checking for. You know, I watched all his fights. If I see him on the card, I'm going to watch it. I mean, I was watching him and Vettori. I was leaning Vettori, but I still was like, you know what? I liked what – because you know what it was? I liked what Jared was saying in the buildup. You know, he was saying that he was like, we worked on some things and – I think, you know, a different approach this time. I'm going to be able to show a lot of what we've been working on. I think we can get it done. And, you know, that's in comparison to his last performance is what he was trying to say. And you know, saying that he would look a lot better, and he definitely did. He, bro, I really, shout out Cannon there, bro. What irritates me right now is that, you know, he looks so good, and I want to pose the same question. It's not just how good is Charles Oliveira, just how good is Jared Cannon there? I mean, really, like, the only thing that he could have done to really, like, I think that was bald Cannon there, bro. Like, that might have been bald Cannon there. I think he might have been wearing a wig or something. I think he might have shaved his head and then put a wig on. But that was bald Cannon there, bro. That's he looked like it because he was on some different shit. You know what I mean? He was on some whole different shit, bro. Vittori, he was beating that dude up so bad, bro. Like, I don't know. What bothers me, man, is bald Cannon there, right? I don't know where he went to go, like, get the dark magic or whatever he came in there with. He looked incredible. Broke the record in middleweight history, most significant strikes. Destroyed Marvin Vettori. He's never been beaten that bad. Marvin's lost to Izzy twice, and he lost to Rob, but none of those times did he get beat up that bad. You know, that was the worst beating he's ever taken that I've seen. And I just don't like how the focus seems to be. You don't hear people saying, like, how good Cannon here looked. For some reason, you're more hearing them say how durable Tori is, and he's never been finished. He continues the streak, never been finished. He's such a warrior. It's like, why do we commend that every time? Like, it always seems like the focus is always on, like, the guy that lost and saying, like, he has a nice, good chin or whatever. It's like, why are we talking about that? I mean, what? Obviously, yeah, you could say that, but, like, why are we, like, hanging on that point? It seems like everybody that speaks on the fight is, like, mainly talking about Vettori, and it's like, bro, what did Vettori do in the fight, bro? He got beat down so bad. Like, you got to call a spade a spade. Like, obviously, Vettori is one of the best in the world, too, but it's like, you got to give guys credit, man. You can't just be like, oh, Vettori hung in there. Like, that to me, that's like, it sounds like you're leaning toward the guy when you say that. Like, it sounds like that's what biased commentary sounds like to me. You know, it's the same way when, you know, McGregor was basically getting dominated by Khabib when they fought, and Cruz was on commentary while McGregor's, you know, in bottom position, getting basically smashed by Khabib, and all Cruz was saying was, oh, McGregor's trying to bait him, or he's trying to wear him out or something. And it's like, why don't you talk about how good Khabib looks? Like, be honest, bro. Like, he's basically smashing him. He dominates. And you're trying to have, like, this lean. You're trying to, like, reach for something to talk about. And it just seems like that's what they're doing with this fight, instead of just keeping it a buck and saying, wow, Jared Cannon there just put on the best performance of his career. Why don't we – let's give him his flowers for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Basically, man, in other words, stop trying to give people more victories, man. More victories don't count in combat sports. You know, they, like, when they say, oh, man, he was tough because he didn't tap out. He got his arm broke. How tough is that? How dumb is that? He didn't tap out, but he got his arm broke. Okay. Oh, man, he showed a lot of heart and chin, but it takes his face 3 weeks to go down from a swelling. How smart was that? So, man, more victory should be given him in mixed martial arts. I'm kind of with you on that. Cannonier looked very good. It's good to see when guys say, hey, we worked on some different things in our camp, and when you watch them fight, you could tell that they worked on some different things, that they improved in some areas. And, you know, man, it's a testament to that guy. He went in the camp, put in the work, and came out and put it on display, man. And that's one of the things that you have been saying about Tony Ferguson. Although he's been losing, you was like, his head movement got better, his boxing got better, you know, but he just can't seem to, you know, put it all together. But Cannonier looked good. I think he'll probably be on standby, you know, for the next title fight, because I think if Duplessis, the winner of Duplessis and Bobby Knuckles, the winner of that fight is going to get a title shot against Izzy. Cannoneer, I want to say he lost to Rod Whitaker, so I don't see him jumping him. But, you know, like you said, man, shouts out to Cannoneer, man, for, you know, learning from his loss. You know, learning what he has to work on. But I got to say this, man. Keys, man, Vittori is a good fighter, bro. He's a hell of a fighter. Do you see him winning a fight if he can't take somebody down? My answer is no. I don't
Vittori
ever winning a stand-up battle, bro.
It's crazy because, like, Vittori's striking looks so good when he fought. This is what I was thinking about at work earlier. I was like, how is it that Marvin Vittori's striking looks so – okay, so this is what really happened. Let me break down the timeline of this. This is what happened. So when you think about it, remember back when we still had Jacare Souza before he – I don't know if he just, like, got released or he retired. I'm not really sure what happened with Jacare, but shout out Jacare. Anyways, whenever we still had him – so at that time, he was still a big name and a big name to beat. He was one of the best middleweights still, even when he, you know, was getting kind of inconsistent. Whenever they did Jacare, I think it was Jacare versus Hermanson. Hermanson was just kind of starting to win fights and become a name. So they did – I think it was Jacare versus Hermanson. I don't know if it was main event or if it wasn't, but Hermanson, I'm pretty sure, was a big underdog, but he – his striking looks so damn good. He beat up Jacare so bad on the feet. I thought he was, like, going to be that guy. Like, it was crazy watching the way he pieced up Jacare on the feet. Jacare is a good striker. No, he's been a good striker. So that happened, right? And then a little bit later down the line, it's not like it's right after the spaces in between these fights, but what I'm saying is Hermanson beat up Jacare so bad on the feet. Then later down the line, Hermanson and I think it was Hermanson and Vittori that fought? Yeah, I think it was Hermanson and Vittori that fought. And in that fight, I want to say, I'm not sure who was the favorite, but I know Hermanson was more of the established name. Vittori was just starting to get up into, you know, where he was at, the top 10 or whatever they were at. And he was a lower-ranked guy. So then in that fight, the opposite. So Hermanson was getting pieced up on the feet. Vittori's striking looked so good and beat up Hermanson so bad on the feet. I'm like, damn, Marvin Vittori, and that was the fight that I'm pretty sure got him the Adesanya rematch because I think that was the one. And then now go forward into this next fight. Now Vittori is on the opposite side of it, and Cannoneer just made Vittori look so bad on the feet and destroyed him. So that's the confusion of the life cycle here with the way these guys, like, some. So what I'm getting to is that some of these, like, Hermanson striking looks really good one fight. Then he looks really bad in another fight because Vittori was looking so good. Then Vittori looks so bad versus Cannoneer, and Cannoneer is killing it. So it's just interesting how in some fights Vittori striking looks good or Hermanson striking will look good, and then the next one, he gets outclassed so bad. So it's hard for me to say. I mean, he doesn't really Vittori strikes, but like you said, he has to have, if he can't take a guy down, like, you really can't rely on him to win the striking match every time. So that's the thing. I think what I would put to him is he's an inconsistent striker. Sometimes he has it, and then sometimes he doesn't. And I don't know what goes through his mind, because even in round two versus Cannoneer, you could see on Vittori's face, he looked like so confused by what Cannoneer was doing. What Cannoneer was doing. Vittori looked so baffled, you know what I mean? He just, the look on his face, like, he looked like he was in shock. Like, he just had no idea what to do. And he might have been hurt still from the first round. That, you know, they both landed some big shots early, but he just looked lost, man. And I don't know. So, yeah, I would lean towards what you said, because I feel like Vittori, sometimes his striking is good, and then some nights he gets outclassed very bad, like the one we just saw. And, yeah, I don't know if he has the pieces to – I just feel like he's in a spot in the division where there's three guys that are going to continue to beat him now, you know. I really don't think Vettori has the skills to beat the top three middleweights now. I mean, not counting if you don't want to count Pereira. You know, Pereira is going to go fight. I mean, he definitely doesn't have the skills to beat Pereira either. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. You know, you can't be that the way he looked in the fight of Pereira. So he doesn't have the skills to beat a Whitaker, Adesanya, or Cannonier in a rematch. Like, I just don't know. I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know. If he can't get that element of it, you can't count on him to purely strike.
Yeah, man. You know, man, I'm just looking at some keys, and I'm gonna make a statement, and you can follow it. I'm, you know, it ain't have nothing to do with Marvin Vettori, but you know, like I said, I just don't see him. I look at him now as a guy that he has to. If his fight plan isn't all there, or if he has to change, I don't see him making adjustments during fights, man. And if you can't make adjustments during fights, you're not gonna beat the best fighters in the world. But Keys, man, can we put a APB out for Khamzat Chimaev, dog? What is going on? I'm looking at the rankings and stuff, and his name just like jumped off my computer. I'm like, what are we doing with Hamzat?
Yeah, go ahead,
I think me and you said he was on punishment. I think me and you said the UFC got him on punishment.
Yeah, he is on punishment, which is a little bit awkward, and I don't know what's going on with that, because It just baffles me how, like, this guy wanted to fight every week. And
yep.
and another, he wanted to fight every week. And this is a point I'm going to mention to you right now, and then we'll talk about it next week, is Khamzat, I was watching Cho. Bro, he has a clone in one of the other leagues. Bro, he has a guy. There's a guy named Khamzat Borzmaev that fights just like him, same style, and looks just like him. I don't know what is going on, bro. I'll send you the video after the show. You got to see it. He looks so much like him and has the same style and has the same name. His name is Khamzat Borzmaev. I don't know what's going on, bro. There's some parallel universe shit going on, bro. I don't know. This is the multiverse. Like, if y'all Marvel, this is the multiverse, bro. This is crazy. But we'll talk about that next week. Khamzat, bro, he wanted to fight every week. This guy, and he beats people handily enough to where he very well could fight every week. He should be on at minimum. He should be on every pay-per-view. He should be fighting once a month, this guy. And maybe, you know, he would have slowed down. You know, maybe at a certain point he skips a pay-per-view. But he should be on – this guy should be fighting at least 4 or 5 times a year. But realistically, with his style and the way he runs through guys, he could fight on every pay-per-view, I think. This guy could fight because he barely – besides fight when he fought Gilbert Burns, he comes out unscathed. He comes out of all these fights barely touched. He doesn't even, like, go to the mat. He doesn't get knocked down, nothing. This guy – he could literally be on every pay-per-view, and they've completely dropped the ball. I don't know what happened. And I've seen many guys call him out. Bilal Muhammad wanted to fight him. Bilal called him out many times. Seen other guys call him out too. I don't know. It's not like guys don't want to fight him. He's definitely had guys wanting to fight him. And I also don't believe that he doesn't want to fight. I think it's just the UFC has been holding him back with his contract. I think that just – They're playing with his career. I don't know if it's his manager. I don't know who his manager is, but I think the UFC and his management are dropping the ball bad. I don't think it's him not wanting to fight, because we know he wanted to fight, but they're just not setting him up with fights. I don't know how he was supposed to fight Nate, and then he fought Kevin Holland instead, but that was almost a year ago. it's now, we're going into late June. We're in mid to late June. And the last time we've seen Khamzat in the ring was September of 2022. How is that possible?
Man, I don't know, man, because I was just like, because I was going through, you know, so I'm like, man, Khamzat. Like, yo, man, we ain't heard nothing from Khamzat in a minute. What's the deal? Man, I don't know what the UFC is doing, but when you got a guy like that, you have to keep him out there in the public eye. You know, let's put the guy up there. I mean, I know he had some difficulties with COVID, but you know, that was a while ago. And if y'all, and the UFC still can't be mad about him not making weight, you know, because you know, all that stuff that happened over a year ago, and it still ended up being one of your best cards, and it worked out. Everything worked out, even though he didn't make weight. So, yeah, Keys, man, I just saw his name, and I was just like, yo, what's going on? Because, remember, you know, at the beginning of the year, a lot of people projected him to be a champion by the end of the year. Not saying that can't happen. Right now, it's like, it can't happen if he ain't fighting. So, but I gotta do this. My man Keys is going to be the luckiest guy in the state of Massachusetts. Keys, you get Cejudo versus Chito Vera added to that card. How excited are you?
Bro, let me tell you this. Hold on. I'm taking a second here to pull up the full main card, and it's been moved around a little bit. I've seen people, you know, moving the order of the fights around, but I just hold on. We gotta have it right, bro. I need to just tell you, because they're talking about Chris Weidman being on the main card, but then the different. I don't know what the bout order is. I'm saying, but overall, it doesn't matter. It's really. Let me just read this to you, how it looks to be. This is from MMA Orbit. They said, potential UFC 292 main card. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? I don't know if I'm ready, right? Aljamain Sterling versus Sean O'Malley. That's the champ versus the number one ranked bantamweight. Huge bantamweight fight for the title. In the co-main event, I'm actually interested in this one. Because I do like Zhang Weili's fights. Out of the female, I do like her fights. I do like Zhang Weili. So Zhang Weili versus Amanda Lemos. Lemos bangs, yep. Too. I think that's a good fight. That one for strawweight title, I believe. Now, Henry Cejudo, like you mentioned, Cejudo versus Chito. That's crazy. You know both, and you know this. You know the situation that's happening here. You have other bantamweight fights on the main event. You know what that means. Any of these guys, let's just say, you know what I'm going to say, and I'm not assuming it happens, but it could happen. Say Aljamain or O'Malley, something happens, you could end up with a shift of any of these guys. So you now have anyone here to weigh in as a backup or jump into that spot. Cejudo versus Chito and Rob Font versus Song Yadong. That's crazy. So you have potentially, debatably, the top six bantamweights in the world right now all fighting on the main card. That's insane. This is a bantamweight takeover card. This is crazy. They might as well just add another bantamweight. They might as well just get forget that other card they want to do. Get Sanhagen and Umar Nurmagomedov on this main card. Forget that other fight night, you know, bullshit they want to do. Get them on this one, you know what I'm saying, and just do the whole main card besides Zhang Weili as bantamweight, top bantamweight fights. I think that would be so crazy. But even without that, I'm not even trying to, like, kill the mood of it. Like, this is crazy. And you have Ian Garry versus Jeff Neal on the card, bro. You got Ian Garry versus Jeff Neal on the card. That's crazy. That's crazy. And they're talking about having your boy Chris Weidman fight Brad Tavares on the card. I'm seeing that one is rumored for the card as well. And hold on.
Cody
that's
Garbrandt.
Not it.
Cody Garbrandt.
And yes, I'm trying to find because there was a picture of a full card somewhere, and someone posted it, and it's supposed to have.
It's on ESPN.
It's up there.
Yeah, ESPN. You got Gerald Meerschaert is fighting on that card. Andrea Lee is fighting on that card.
Oh yeah, Garbrandt and Batista. Yep.
Man, this card is actually shaping up to be. Man, it's
crazy.
Gonna be nice. I hope they add one more fight to the main card because right now they only got four fights. I think it's because two fights are five-round fights. But I want them to add one more fight to the main card. I think that might be
five. Yeah, I think maybe it's just not finalized because, I mean, right now, this guy's lineup is showing our boy Rob Font and Song Yadong, which is going to be a crazy fight, bro. That's going to be crazy. They're showing that as if it's the prelim main event. And then they're showing Weidman and Brad Tavares on the main card, which I don't really like. I feel like that should be on the prelims. I don't think that's a main event fight. But
ESPN got fight. Weidman and Tavares. ESPN got Weidman and Tavares as the main event of the prelims.
All right, so that works then. So you would have Font and Song Yadong should be on the main card. So then you have six out of the 10 fighters in the main card are bantamweights, ranked bantamweights. That's crazy. That's really crazy. And I love the idea of them having Ian Garry and Jeff Neal and Ian Garry open up the main card. I think that's crazy. That's the way it looks right here. And I think that's – bro, I haven't bought my ticket yet, but I'm going to buy it soon.
I think that's going to change. Don't you think Font and Sonya Dong is going to move to that spot? Don't you think they're going to open up the main card?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that'd be fine. It doesn't even matter. I think whatever order they want to do is going to be crazy. You know, you could have Rob Font. Shit, you could even have Cejudo and Cheeto open up the main card, and that would be crazy. I think any way you kind of shift it around would be crazy, you know?
Yeah, man. This card, I mean, like I said, this could possibly, if everything go the way it's supposed to go, this card could possibly be probably the best card of the year, depending on how the MSG card shape out. But as of right now, on paper, this the best card they got right now, bro. This card is super dope. I mean, I don't have no other words for it, dog. That this fight is, hey, if everybody come in at their best, I think we'll be at the end of the year saying this Boston card will probably be fight card of the year if everything shakes up the way it's supposed to be. Keys, your boy.
Yep.
Was going at Corey Anderson. Jamal spoke no lies. Jamal had all his facts in line. He made Corey Anderson look so silly with his tape. Keys, when you was watching Corey Anderson speak before Jamal Hill retorted, I know you, Keys. I know you probably was laughing or you was mad. Because he was just lying, bro. He was sitting there telling a bold-faced lie to the people. What were your thoughts, man, when Corey was speaking?
I actually loved this back and forth. I don't know if when I caught it, it was at the same time. I feel like I saw it like hours later, but I kind of wish I was seeing him live, but still, I don't know if he won a fight over there in the B-League or what, what his basis, like where he was coming out. I figured he must have won a fight, and he was feeling pretty big. I still don't like how those guys always have to start, like, making these types of, you know, claims when they win a fight there. They always have to say, like, oh, we'll beat the UFC guys. And it's like, no, you won't. No, you won't. So cut it out. We literally just saw Sergio Pettis beat Patricio Pitbull. So calm down. Let's calm down. And guess what? Sergio Pettis came from the UFC, and he just beat up Patricio Pitbull, which is Bellator's poster boy. So let's cut it out, because we just saw it right there, you know. So and there he was, Patricio Pitbull, one of the biggest guys who makes these biggest claims of all these guys, you know, just lost to a flyweight, you know what I'm saying? Just lost to a bantamweight. So and he said that, you know, he would beat Islam and Oliveira and come over here and beat all these guys, and no, he wouldn't. So let's cut it out. And Corey Anderson, another guy who, and to this point, or what you asked, is my thought was, first of all, and this was my first thought, bro. Corey Anderson, you called another man sweet booty.
Yes, he did.
You called another man sweet booty. That was my first thought, bro. I was like, what? I don't know if that's like, is that like a southern thing? Like, is that like slang for something? Like, what? Like, I was really confused. Maybe it's just like East Coast. We don't, maybe it's just the East Coast. We don't talk like, I don't know what he, where he got that. That was kind of weird, bro. I don't know. I wasn't really feeling that. That's a little weird, bro. A little strange for trash talk, but I don't know what you were thinking with that, but yeah, that was Corey Anderson. You wilding, bro. You wilding out crazy. That's really what it comes down to. And I just thought it was so funny how Jamal Hill gave this big explanation when he responded to him, and he's like, you know, you fought OSP, you saw what I did to him. I don't know, did OSP, like, knock Corey Anderson out or something? Like, what? I don't know what happened, but he was like, you lost OSP, and you saw what I did to him. And then at the end of it, I love how Jamal came out at the end. He's like, and really, no matter what you're saying, I'll beat your ass. yeah, he put it in all caps, too. He gave this big explanation, and he's like, you fought this guy, but no matter what, I'll beat your ass. Yo, hey, I love it, bro. I would love for them to do a cross-promotion and put that fight on. I think that would be a good time. You know, I think that would be a good time. Put the belt up, or whatever you want to do, make another belt or do something. And let them fight each other, bro. I think that would be good. That'd be good entertainment right there. And it would be a big humbling moment, I think. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see any lies in it.
First of all, Keith, when he was saying that the top four light heavyweights and Bellator will beat the top four heavyweights and the UFC, and I'm sitting here thinking, the top four light heavyweights in the UFC, I mean in Bellator, you have two guys from the UFC, Yoel Romero and Corey Anderson. So, bro, y'all not in the UFC for a reason. So stop it. If y'all were really that good, you think the UFC would let you go? No. If you was that good, the UFC would do everything in their power to keep you. That's what they do. The UFC do not let their stars walk without a fight. You know, Francis Ngannou, the UFC tried to negotiate with him, but Francis, he knew what he was doing. He knew he was asking for stuff that he wasn't going to get. So he's talking about Nemkov, him, Yoel Romero, and I can't remember who the fourth person was, No, Ryan Bader. I want to say he said it was Ryan Bader. Ryan Bader got beat out of the UFC. He was getting his ass whooped. He got beat out of the UFC. Man, come on, bro. We talking about light heavyweight. Jan Blachowicz beat you, Corey Anderson. Jamal Hill, I think he would beat any of those guys. I think Yoel would probably get him the toughest fight, depending on which Yoel showed up. So you got Blachowicz, Jamal Hill, you got Prazaka, and who, Alexander Rokic. It's like, bro, man, I mean, it's good to big up your company, but at the same time, let's keep it real, man. Let's not go out here and create, you know, fake narratives just to big up your guys. I mean, everybody know that y'all is the B-League. It's just what it is. Bellator is the B-League. Every time somebody get let go at the UFC, Bellator is the first one to try to come scoop them up. Why? Because they know they coming from the big leagues down to them, and they got an established name most likely. So I love the way Jamal Hill clapped back at them, and it was great, man. It was great. But it goes back to something me and my son will talk about, really, like on wrestling. WWE will never be looked at amongst like little companies as a giant, because WWE will never ever do cross promotions. They look at all that other stuff as beneath them. And the UFC looks at it too, the same way. But I think the UFC needs to, I would love to see them do one cross promotion with Bellator, all championship fights or number one contender fights, champ versus champ, or, you know, number one contender versus number one contender, something like that. So we could finally put this claim to bed that Bellator can't compete with the UFC. I'm just tired of hearing it, bro. I'm just tired of hearing it.
Yeah, it's they just want to, you know, when they win a fight, they just want to have something to uplift the fight, because they already know that, you know, barely anybody was even tuning into the fight. So they're trying to just get people to actually tune into the fight. And the only way they could really do that is if they fight a UFC guy. So that's the only way. I mean, no one is trying to watch a lot of these promotions, man. I mean, when you really look at it, I mean, they even said, and hey, I became a fan of Bare Knuckle, but I think it's funny how they said that the BKFC 41 basically flopped, but it had like 700,000 or 800,000 illegal streams. It was like, I want to say it did like a really low amount for pay-per-view buys. It was like somewhere in the 100 or 200,000. I want to say in the 100,000 legit pay-per-view buys, and then did like 700,000 to 800,000 illegal streams. And I'm sure that's very similar to the numbers that Bellator is doing. I don't look at what they have, but I wouldn't doubt that they get mostly illegal streams too, because don't nobody want to pay for those fights. You know what I'm saying? And what people are willing to pay for tells you a lot about your talent and how seriously they take your business. You know what I'm saying? If people are willing to spend the $80 for your pay-per-view, you probably have a really good product. But if they're not willing to pay for it, what does that tell you? You know what I'm saying?
Plus $80 is a little steep if you ask me. If you ask me, I'm paying $80 for Bare Knuckle when I'm not paying $80 for the UFC. Why is your product more expensive than theirs? And your product is newer to the market, and you trying to get customers in. Yours should be cheaper. So, but, you know, man, it's, I don't really get into all the other stuff. You know, I might watch Bellator here or there. You know, I watch one here or there. But I do like one because they do, like, different type of stuff. They got Muay Thai, you know, stuff like that. So, they, you know, that MMA is a little switched up. You get a little bit of both, but nah, man, nah. But Corey Anderson, bro, sometimes you just got to keep it real, even if it's, you know, maybe at a detriment of other people. No need to tell them our bald-faced lies, man. We can pull the tapes, bro. The tapes can always be pulled. But, Keys, you want to talk about this? It was in our tweet today about the show. You got Conor McGregor versus USADA. What's going on with that, man?
So I really wanted to say, yeah, so that was all I wanted to get to, is that they were saying, you know, Chandler said that USADA was at his doorstep, I think either today or yesterday, and he got tested. But he's good to fight before the end of the year. But McGregor has not entered the testing pool and has not been tested. So, and it's 6 months. So basically, unless McGregor would, the last pay-per-view, I want to say, was 6 months from yesterday. I think they said it's about mid-December is the last pay-per-view of the year. So, and we know McGregor's only going to fight on pay-per-view. So he's not fighting in 2023 is basically what that comes down to. You know, he would be pushed into 2024 at this point because he is not, you need 6 months and he has not entered the pool.
Well, I'm going to ask you this because, you know, that's one of your guys. Do you think you want to fight?
I think he wants to fight, but I don't think he wants the work that it takes to get there. You know what I'm saying? I think he wants to just he likes the idea of fighting, and he wants to fight, but he doesn't want to put in what it takes to actually do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of people say they want this thing, but what, are they willing to put in the work to get that thing? It's like, I feel like that's if I had to guess, that's the mind state he's at, is he doesn't want to put in the groundwork it takes to actually do it, you know, to actually consistently train and, you know, to not be putting, you know, all this, you know, alcohol, you know, whiskey, you know, I don't know if he's drugs or whatever putting into his body. He doesn't want to get, you know, I think he doesn't want to stop partying. He doesn't want to, you know, get out of the spotlight and really dig deep and get his body into fight shape and do the weight cut and, you know, do the early mornings and late nights, you know, to get the work in and to get himself where he needs to be and to get sharp. I don't think he doesn't want the commitment of it. So, you know, he wants to keep what his life he's living now. And so therefore you can question how much does he want to fight? You know, I think he wants to fight, but I don't think he wants it badly enough. You know, that's what I would say. Because I don't think he's willing to give up, you know, the partying and, you know, all the stuff that he's doing. So that's kind of that's the kind of the sad reality of that. And he disappoints me on a massive scale. That's what I'll leave off with. Conor McGregor disappoints me on a massive scale. And I'm gonna quote that on our channel. Massive.
I'm going to say this, man. He knew he was going to do the Ultimate Fighter, right? Everybody know that the Ultimate Fighter is normally followed up with a fight night or a pay-per-view. In the case of Conor McGregor, you knew it was going to be a pay-per-view. Bro, if you ain't want to do it, man, you shouldn't even did the Ultimate Fighter. You could have let somebody else jump in there and did that, dog. So now, he ain't in the pool, or he might be in the pool, and we just haven't found out yet. But if he was in the pool, it would have been something that came out on either Twitter, ESPN, you know, anywhere you get your sport news from. So, to me, if I'm like a Chandler, man, it's like, damn, bro, what are we doing? Are we doing this or not? If not, let me try to work on getting me another fight, man, after this is over with, you know? So, I kind of foresaw this when he got that $100 million from Floyd Mayweather, that fighting wouldn't be as important to him. But I'm hoping that maybe he is in a testing pool
and, you know, just nothing has came out yet, or they're keeping it on the low. And hopefully we do get to see him and Chandler in the Octagon before the end of the year. So we covered a lot tonight, man. What's your last words for the people, bro?
My last words is this. UFC Boston, I'm pumped. I didn't get to say, you know, I will be buying my ticket soon. I was looking at the prices. I think Dana's, you know, accounting for inflation this time. So the prices are a little bit more expensive. I want to say the last time the load seats, well, the price we got the load seats for is price of the balcony seats this time. So it's definitely the price is up a notch or two. And I'm going to get my ticket soon. I'm going to lock something in. I'm probably going to go for a balcony seat anyways because I think looking down on the fight and basically have the Jumbotron in front of me would be much better than looking up at the screen and trying to look through the cage at the fight. So I'm probably going to grab one of those pretty soon. And what did you say?
I said I totally agree. Because every time I went to watch, I always got like a second level seat. So I was looking down in the cage, or I had a nice view of the Jumbotron.
Yeah, so that's the way I want to set it up this time. I'm going to go for a balcony seat, and we'll be chilling with that. Bro, it's basically, it's a little less than 2 months from today, which is kind of crazy. It's really not that far away. I'm pumped, and I'm actually thinking about. I'll also tell you all this, and you could chime in on this if you want to, is I'm thinking about doing a three-fight parlay for these main events this summer. I want to do Volkanovski, Dustin Poirier, and Aljamain Sterling to win that fight. I want to do a three-leg parlay with those three all to win. I'm feeling really good about it, and that comes at plus 204 odds, so they don't know. They're not that confident that they all win, but I think they all win, and I agree with what you said. I think Poirier has the toughest fight. I think that's the most iffy out of the three of them. I think Sterling, you know, I think Sterling will pretty much roll O'Malley, and I think Volkanovski is gonna do what he does against Yair Rodriguez. Even though there's a lot of hype for Yair Rodriguez going into this fight, I think Volkanovski is gonna just do what he does. But yeah, last word for me after that would be. Life is short. Love each other. That's, you know, it sounds simple. And I say that it sounds simple, but it is simple. So just do it. Life is short. Love each other, bro. We be complicating shit for no reason. Just show people, you know, show people and give them their flowers while they're alive. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason to wait until, you know, your friend or family's not around anymore to try to say how much you love them. Tell them how much you love them while they're alive, you know, because you don't wait. You know, until the moment, you know, until the moment's gone to try to, you know, express it, you know, give people their flowers while they're alive. You know, that's what I would say.
All right. I don't know or not you saw this. The Celtics trying to get Porzingis. They're trying to trade for Porzingis from Washington. And they're going to send Malcolm Brogdon to the Clippers. So, you know, the Celtics making moves. But, you know, I don't really have no last words, man. It's just good to get up here out the bed. We've been off for 2 weeks, but, you know, summertime, you know, me and Keys, you know, we try to live a little bit in the summertime, so y'all have to forgive us for that. We caught up today. We'll be back next Wednesday talking this good talk to y'all. And everybody have a great weekend. Take care of you. Take care of yourself. Take care of your loved ones. And being said, we're always in the show with a pace.